back after a sort of injury-ridden game week 13 is what you were expecting, but somehow most of us managed to scrape up game week 13, I guess, 50-odd points, 45-odd points, whatever it was. That's done and dusted. We're back for game week 14. So, hi all, welcome to episode 25 of the Game Week Navigators. I'm Aditya, and as usual, I have my two wonderful co-hosts, Leong and Sankalp. We're going to look at game week 14 now, because there are a lot of interesting things popping up around game week 14. We have a couple of fixture swings that are going to start maybe from this week or over the next couple of weeks. Some players are on a suspension tightrope. And we look at game week 14 fixtures, look at the transfer trends, some of the dilemmas that are popular, and we'll wrap up with our first teams and captaincies. So, as I said, those were our talking points. So, before we actually go ahead, I'll just stop the slide here. So, I wanted to know how your teams performed in game week 13 respectively. I'll go first to Leon.
I think I did quite okay for the past two game weeks, maybe because of the few differentials that I bought in, which helps me. I think the template team don't really do well in 12 and 13, so I took the chance to catch up a bit in the rank. So hopefully it will continue this game week. I'm quite optimistic for that. And Sankalp?
Yeah, for me, the major problem is captaincy now. No, I just don't seem to get it right. And I'm going with the major, you know, big guys. I'm not playing too differential. But this week I went with Sun and, you know, another blank. So while rest of the team can catch up, I had, I think, 42 odd points. But the major difference is, you know, where you put those captaincy chip. And I think last week also Aditya and me, we were discussing the same thing, that captaincy is going to be so critical. Right? Unless you get that right, it's very difficult to gain points. So this week, that's the reason I just put it on Haaland so far. I want to have fun, but I don't think any differential captains are working so far. There's not a major difference, you know, because even Haaland is not on a rampage mode, at least. You know, he's just chipping in with single goal. But at the same time, it's just the fact that none of the differences that we're going for is banging in, you know, a different way, right? So that's how it stands for me.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to see about Haaland not chipping in and all, I mean, last week, I mean, the highest point scorer was Marcus Tavernier from Bournemouth. He scored 13 odd points. Like, that's what they have mentioned right up front in the first home screen of FPL. So, I mean, if you manage to get 5 odd points from your captain, that's 5 or 2, it's 10. I think you should be pretty much pleased. But on another day, Son could have also had an hat-trick. I mean, goals ruled out offside. That's how, I mean, tight margins are there.
It was so painful watching that match. You know, every time he scored, I was like, okay, finally, something. You know, it's offside. At the last goal that he scored, right, I just couldn't believe it. He was offside because it was a rebound. I thought, hey, at least I got one goal now. And then he was offside even for that. So it's a bit funny, but it also tells you, you know, the difference in positioning, right? Playing as a left winger to a striker, now it is starting to show up a bit. Some of the, you know, runs that he's making, it's a bit too early. But that's the thing, and I think we're going to discuss, but it's going to be interesting to see how Spurs are going to set up Sun against City, because generally, you know, we all love Spurs versus City, and this is actually kind of the surprise fixture that Kane used to keep on giving us points. But at the same time, his absence and the fact that Sun is playing in a different position means there's a lot more guesswork than we usually do for this fixture.
Okay, with that being said, let's look at our transfer trends. And if we see probably the transfer outs, let's look at that, because a lot of, you know, high-profile FPL names are there in the outs. Obviously, Bowen, he has not traveled for West Ham's game, but they're hoping, they have, I think I read, they have high hopes for him to be fit against Palace. Mitoma, again, I think it's a doubt. Heung-min Son, people are obviously, I think it's typical racist transfer going on. Alvarez again is somewhat similar, we could say. And Madison is again is obviously out. So those outs make sense. But we look at ins, right? I think all of this corresponds to kind of the fixture swing that we are expecting, right? Gordon, Mbembo, Zinchenko, Saka, Saliba. Like, all those ins are like pretty much the bandwagon picks going on for the next few weeks.
three Arsenal players. I think some of these guys have watched yesterday's match.
Yeah, this data is for today morning. So I think a lot of numbers might have gone up.
Yeah, and I'm also surprised that Gordon is the number one transfer in player. Because I think they sort of missed out the risk of burnout for our team, Newcastle. Maybe you can observe what happened in the Champions League game. Eddie Howe, of course, he wanted a win. That's why he didn't use any single sub at all against PSG. So our entire starting 11 actually played the entire 90 minutes. And Gordon as well, he's not used to play 90 minutes week in, week out, especially with the fixtures coming tight as well. So I think it'll be a new experience for him. And another thing is we have Willock out. So with him out, Joelinton will be forced to play in the middle of the field. So he won't be challenging Gordon for the left position as well. Also, we have Barnes not ready to be back yet. Mm-hmm. So Gordon will have to play 90 odds minutes, 80 minutes every game. He won't have much chance to rest. So yeah, I don't really see him being able to run non-stop for the whole game. So it might be a risk that people is going to take. And another thing I want to ask Sankar about this is about Zinchenko. Because you see, a lot of people bring him in, really expecting, other than a clean sheet, also some sort of attacking returns from him. Even though I don't think it's a thing that happened really often. And also, some people I saw it on Twitter mentioned that they asked the question whether he's really nailed to start all the games, especially when we have three games in like 7 days. 8 days during this busy period. So will he get rested? For example, he was rested game week 11 against Newcastle, and also I think one game as well early in the season. So is there anyone in the Arsenal backline that's going to threaten his starting position, or maybe he's nailed to start all the games till January?
A couple of things. So one, I think the attraction for Zinchenko is just that he is cheaper than Saliba. Right? Okay. Saliba has become so popular. I think he's around 5.4, right? Very close to 5.5 now. Fairly expensive as an asset. And Gabriel is someone who people have still doubts on with respect to stats, because he's had a couple of benches apart from that early season fiasco. And that's where I think the Zinchenko factor is coming in. I don't see him getting attacking returns. He might get you one day, right? But like you said, very rarely he does that. He's not a consistent assist provider. White being injured was a blessing for him, because that meant Tomiyasu went to his usual right-back position. But if White comes back in, that means Tomiyasu is always a contender for left-back position, right? I think the good news is, my assessment is, when we face any easy games or we face games at home, which we are expected to dominate physically, and as well as on the ball, that's the game that Zinchenko is expected to start, right? So that's the good part. And ideally, you are expected to get more clean sheets there. Right? So I think Zinchenko starts the game that we are expected to get the clean sheets, and that's the best thing. But like you said, you cannot be sure of a Zinchenko start, especially fixture congestion, as any difficult away games like Newcastle away just made more sense to go with Tomiyasu, who was a much more physically strong player who can help us defend against your pace winger side. So those kind of games, there'll be odd benchings, and that's something you have to accept when you go there.
So as you said earlier, Saliba is currently 5.5, and as per the current trends, Mbemba is one followed by Gordon. So the first and second places have been swapped. That's the current, based on the current numbers that we have. And since you're speaking about a lot of Arsenal's defense, let's look at actually the fixture swing. Let's look at the suspension record that we have. It's put out by FPL, we must end on about FPL. So these are the current maybe top players, sort of players who are close to a suspension. Obviously, we have Bruno, that we have Cash. I think most managers would probably look to get rid of Cash probably next week. It also have a luxury transfer. They may look at this week, but it's Bournemouth, so I think spread it a hold on. Then you have Sterling, Luis, Aitori, Kapore, Tokore, Ayer, and Brathwaite.
Yeah, so, I think for the expensive players that you see here, I think the main players that concern us is Bruno, Trippier, and as you mentioned, Cash as well. The other players might be cheap enough to maybe bench for one game week if they sort of get their fifth yellow card and get the suspension. But Cash having the fourth yellow card maybe is a blessing in disguise, because it sort of gives the managers another good reason to sell him, maybe sooner than what they wanted to, maybe even this week. I'm one of the managers that are considering selling Cash. I haven't done it so far, but if you have bought Cash earlier in the season and you have some sort of profit that you can gain if you sell him before he drops in price again, probably it might be a move that you want to consider for me.
Yeah, I mean, Cash is pretty much going to get out of a lot of teams maybe next week. But that's it for the suspension player with tightrope players who are close to getting suspended for a game. Let's look at probably the fixtures week, because this picture itself makes sense for, I mean, makes sense with regards to the transfer ins that we have been seeing at the moment. Obviously, we have Arsenal. These are probably some of the teams that have good run of games up till game week 2021. We've just put few of the games. I've mentioned game week till 19, but I've added an extra week or so. But these are the teams that probably have good run of games. Obviously, on paper, it looks very nice seeing a lot of green boxes, but it's totally different. A lot of factors play, obviously, with fixture congestion now getting, you know, starting to kick in with midweek games and everything had come up. So, quickly, let's run through what we have right up on our screen. And if you guys could suggest maybe two or three odd names from each team, you know, that are worth picking. Let's do a quick rapid fire here. And obviously, it's pretty much self-explanatory with the fixtures that we have right up on our screen.
Yeah, the first thing I saw here is Chelsea's fixtures. Of course, they have a home game against Brighton, which is okay because they can score. And then away to Man United, maybe not that ideal. But after that, they have five greens in a row, including home games against Sheffield United and Crystal Palace. And of course, I think they can score in those as well. And with Nkunku coming back as well, I think it'll be in time for game week 16 if he's doing okay based on the timeline that is given to him. And I think even after that, game week 21 as well, they have Fulham at home. So the good run of fixtures doesn't just stop at game week 20. So we have to see, because a lot of people own Palmer right now. So whether his place is going to be under threat when Nkunku come back, we don't know about it. So I think for me, it's we'll save a transfer for Chelsea, maybe to bring in someone at game week 16 onwards. And another one that attracts me right now that we can do is Forest. Of course, I already done it last game week. I brought in a huge differential in Gibbs White, which returns 12 points. And if you see Forest fixtures in the next five, they actually have three home games out of the five. And as we know, Forest can be very good at home. And the home games are against Everton, Spurs and Bournemouth. So again, they can score in those games as well. So if you want to jump on someone from Forest, I actually thought of getting one of their defenders, probably Toffolo or Aina last game week. But then I look at Forest defensive defensive stats and they don't look really good. So I went for Gibbs White instead. And also Wood might be an option, but as you can see, he don't really perform really well that in the last game. So if you want to jump on any Forest asset, I think game week 14, this game week might be a good chance, especially at home against Everton. Yeah, these are the two standout fixture swing that I can see from here.
Yeah, talking about Forest, I think last week we were discussing Morgan Gibbs and Elanga both had great game weeks, right? I do feel their attack is also a bit underrated. While it's a bit, they had to adapt a lot primarily because of the injuries, right? But Elanga and Morgan Gibbs-White are pretty good fixture for that fifth midfield slot, right? Where people are going Gordon, where people are going the Chelsea midfielder, right? I forgot his name. Cole Palmer, right? So Cole Palmer, Gordon, I think these are good assets, especially Elanga, I think can give you a similar return. He's pretty cheap himself, 5 million guy, right? Arsenal, I think most of us have the assets, right? But Bournemouth, again, someone we saw Solanke blank, which is like extremely odd despite Bournemouth scoring 3 goals. But I do feel Bournemouth are going to pick it up. They're a good team, and Solanke is a fairly strong, is a consistent player, right? Whenever he hits his form, we have seen him continue to chip in with goals. He's not your captaincy guy, but he's a guy who can give you that goal. So people, you know, thinking about a 3-5-2 or a 3-4-3, he's a good 3-4-3 third forward kind of a pick if you want to upgrade Archer, because he's a major upgrade on Archer for sure, right? And Chelsea, I don't know about people. I was really interested to go Sterling this week, primarily because of that Brighton fixture, because I think it's at home and Brighton have not settled down defensively at all this season, right? So it feels like it's a good match to try and attack, especially the wingers. But at the same time, that 4 yellow card that you just showed on the screen now makes me think. I have had very shitty luck, and I was planning a Bruno to Sterling move. And now I'm thinking, hey, does this make sense? Should I go for another guy? Liverpool is the only team that I feel a bit, you know, disturbed about the fact that I don't have any of the attacking players. People still have Nunes, and I think one of these weeks you can see something really strong out of him. He still chips in with some sort of goal interventions, but I think there's some double-digit haul out there, right? Be it Fulham, be it Sheffield, or be it Palace. One of these three game weeks, I think there's a double-digit. It's just that people are more set on Salah, right? But if you are not set on Salah, I think he's a reasonably good player as well, right? So these are my thoughts purely from player point of view. I'm waiting for Neto to come back before I jump from a Wolves, you know, from a Wolves point of view, and I hope that he comes back in time for the Burnley match, because that can be really spicy.
Yeah, you do have Salah though, right? I don't
have Salah. I sold him for Sun like a couple of weeks back.
Are you tempted to bring him in, or maybe it's hard to bring him in?
I wanted the balance, because I wanted some money into my defense. My defense was really underperforming, and that's how I got Trippier in. Right, not been the best timing, but I still have him, and I still have a bit of money change to upgrade my defense, which I'm going to do this week. So I don't plan to go back to Salah. I'm just hoping, you know, Sun somehow starts matching him, or a bit, you know, goes a bit ahead of him. Right. That's the thought.
Yes. So Crystal Palace's kind of swing ends in game week 15 is what I think is what we want to see here. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of managers who went, let's say, powered to Eze are kind of in a trouble again, because Eze is injured. And that is one of the questions that is up in the dilemmas in the next slide. I think we'll try to take it up here, because since we're going to talk about probably budget midfielders, maybe midfielders under 6 million mark or somewhere around the same price point. So who you guys would go for if you were supposed to pick out a replacement for Eze? Or even, let's say, if Bowen is probably out, we get some confirmation that he's failed to recover or something like that. So who do you guys go for that in such a situation?
For me, my number one pick, as I mentioned just now, is Gibbs White, because he's on penalty. He's the talisman of the team, and he's great on eye test as well. He could have scored more. But I'm also very impressed with Huang. I think he's a transformed player this season. Because based on last two seasons, we thought maybe he's not that good, or maybe he's just misused. Especially without Neto, we thought maybe without Neto he won't do so good. But surprisingly, he just keep proving those doubters wrong, and he's on penalty as well. So I think if you look at Wolves fixtures, they are away to Arsenal this game week, but after that they have two home games that are winnable, against Burnley and Forest. So yeah, he's one of the options as well. And just now we mentioned Gordon, but I'm not keen on going there. So for Bowen, I think If I have him right now, which I don't, I think I would just wait for news instead of just transfer him out right now. Maybe even if there are no sure news from Moyes, I would wait another game week because the fixtures are still nice for them. So yeah, I think you have Eze right now, right, Aditya? So you're looking to sell him. So yeah, who are the players that you are considering right now, other than those that I mentioned?
I unfortunately have both Eze and Bowen. I'm in a very tight spot. So I'm really hoping that Bowen recovers in time and is fit enough to play. But in terms of Eze, yeah, it was very disappointing. And I realized that he got kind of subbed off around the 45-46 minute mark for a one-pointer or so last weekend. It's kind of disheartening that he got injured again just being back fit. But yeah, as you said, I was actually looking at Cole Palmer, but I would probably get him in game week 16 if I were to do that. I obviously have Bemo. So I think, as you said, right, Gordon is just, it's simple for me. It's just Gordon versus maybe Ilanga or Kickspite, maybe one of them. And maybe then get a Chelsea player. So my thinking is basically maybe go for Forest, one of the Forest assets until game week 16. And then once Chelsea's fixture turns, just swap them out. Just kind of see out over the next few weeks because we're going to get fixtures thick and fast. So we need players who play regular minutes now. So yeah, it's a tough decision to make. I mean, especially in that price bracket.
Yeah, another player that I watched that I'm quite impressed with is Olise, which he came back really strong and but unfortunately they have Liverpool and Man City next, so it's not a long term transfer in. Otherwise, I would really consider Olise as well, especially with Eze out. He'll be the main man that would organize Crystal Palace attack. Yeah.
Anyone wanting to go Luis Diaz? You know, I think Diogo Jota is out now. So this kind of gives us some certainty into that position, right? And his 7.4 is not a massive upgrade as such, but I think the player does look good and the fixtures, like we see on the screen, they have Fulham, Sheffield and Palace. Not extremely attractive, but at the same time, I think they have good potential, right? There are some holes there. Purely subpar 6 million, I think Ilanga and Chang are, Huang are, I think, best options for me. I like Ilanga because he's more consistent. Huang is a guy who someday will give you, you know, a good return. He'll score a goal for you. Someday he won't. But I feel like Ilanga has a bit more consistent assist potential, right? And given the fact that they have a longer run of green fixtures, I like going there. You know, 5 million guy, nothing can go, not much can go wrong. He's a fifth midfielder. And you can also bench him sometimes if required, right? You'll not feel as bad compared to Huang, where you will feel a bit more because he's a forward. You will always feel an inclination to play him out.
Yeah, since you mentioned Luis Diaz, so I'm just wondering whether is there a possibility that Liverpool will fill a front three of Salah, Nunes, and maybe Gakpo, and rest Diaz in some of the games. I'm not sure about that.
The issue is Gakpo so far has played in and around the CF place, right center forward area. He likes playing in the gaps. We have not seen Liverpool use him wide. Mm-hmm. We have seen Nunes being used wide a bit, but given the fact that now he's finally gelled in and settled in a bit, I still feel it's always, you know, Gakpo versus Nunes when it comes to that centre forward position, right? But on the contrary, Diaz has played almost exclusively as a left winger, right? And that's the reason I feel there's some clarity into how Klopp might be using them. We might see some experimentation, but so far, the way Klopp has been using them, I feel like of these three names, Diaz feels like most likely to start over the next 3 weeks at least.
Yeah, so if cash is not an issue, so you're given a choice whether you want to buy Diaz or Nunes, then who would you pick among the two for your squad?
I think it's much easier for us, for most managers to go Diaz than Nunes, right? primarily because most of us have a 3-5-2 format with Haaland and Watkins, right? So basically what you are deciding is, should I upgrade Watkins to Nunes? And Watkins has been a fairly consistent asset, and Nunes is a very unpredictable asset, right? So that's a huge question mark. Going third slot to a 7.4 million forward is not easy at all for most of us, right? On the contrary, most of us have one such midfielder we can play away with and go for Diaz, right? So it's easier to go for Diaz. I know Nunes has a higher potential for sure. He always does. But I think the difference in returns over a midterm period will not be much for us to worry so much, for us to disturb our squads and play around so much.
Yeah. I think, as you said, I think Liverpool's sort of best front line is Diaz, Diaz, Nunes and Salah. So I think if Liverpool were to play the best team, I think that's going to be sort of the front three that we expect to see. So I think Luis Diaz is definitely a good shot of the next few weeks. Hopefully, that if there is rotation and if we see Gakpo or something else happen, it's a risk you've taken, but obviously the risk, there is reward. So I mean, he might fall also, you never know. And in terms of this fixture swing here, Sheffield United is there. It's a mistake. It shouldn't be there. They shouldn't be there at all. But since they were right at the bottom, I think they were taking the image. I think this came out. Just another player that I want to add. You could probably say because of bias, team support bias, I would say is Garnacho. I mean, his price 4.7, fifth midfielder option is good. United fixtures, not good, but if United are relying a lot on individual brilliance sort of thing, that's what we saw against Everton, and again yesterday he managed to score a goal. Probably he might be in a good form, but we don't know. If anybody is looking for a punt, obviously fixtures are not that great and you have tight budget, I think Garnacho is not a bad shot for 4.7. I know you guys can talk about United buys and all those things, but if budget is a constraint, in that case.
I think the best time might be to time in a move during the Bournemouth match, right? I think you have Bournemouth at home 2 weeks later. So if now you're doing it as a combination of moves, then great, right? Because you need that, you need a 5 million defender, 5 million midfielder to upgrade somewhere, then great. If not, I think that Bournemouth match is perhaps a good time to run in. After that, you have one Liverpool match, and then it's West Ham, Villa, Forest, Tottenham at home, Wolves, West Ham. I think it looks fairly good, right? But one thing that United fans did tell me was yesterday Garnacho started primarily because you had Rashford, who was was suspended, right? So next week, it will be important to see what Ten Hag decides, primarily with Antony now looking back, and he did play a good match yesterday, I thought he played a good match. No, for a change.
I think, to be honest, sorry to cut you in there. If you see based on purely form, we just quickly wrap this up and go. Rashford is not at his best. So to facilitate Garnacho, who's playing well, Garnacho is playing at the left and Rashford was moved to the right.
Right. Yeah.
Just to make sure Garnacho plays every week and wake up, because obviously at the moment he's playing better than Rashford. And now with Antony back, he also looked good. I don't know what he's going to do. My hunch says it is going to be a front line of Garnacho, Hoyland and Rashford again. See Antony play. Yeah, it's just to play with Garnacho. But I mean, he could throw out a googly. I'm not sure, but at this current form, I don't think you would expect him to
play Garnacho. From a play point of view, do you feel Rashford is more settled playing on as a right wing or as a left wing?
To be honest, our attack is completely lost because the midfield is not good enough to support it, right? So that is causing a lot of problems that the attackers are not... I mean, we have most of our players out in the midfield, right? We don't have Casemiro, we don't have Mount. We're playing Kobbie Mainoo, McTominay and Fernandes, or we might play Amrabat. I mean, it doesn't give a solidified structure that a frontline attack expects from its midfield. So that's why there's completely a lot of rotations going here and a lot of experimentations happening. But if you were to ask me in terms of pure form-wise, ignoring the player names and all, I think it would be Garnacho, Hoyland, and Anthony playing.
Yeah, Aditya, Jordan, I just want to ask you a funny question since you mentioned about Man United midfield, right? So Garnacho is right now, he's 4.7. So there's one player that's 4.8 that you mentioned just now, McTominay.
You want to say McTominay? Yeah.
Yeah, and he started the last five and played 90 minutes for the last four. And I think I saw some of the games yesterday against Galatasaray, and he looks okay. So what do you think about him? I think not many will go for him, but I just want to get your opinion on this.
He is an excellent squad player. There's no doubt about McTominay's commitment, what he's doing at the moment. But he's been asked to play a very different role. If you've observed him over the last few games, he's someone who makes those darting last-minute runs. And he somehow managed to hit the ball back of the net. So purely based on that. And yeah, I mean, he's been playing well, but I would still go Garnacho or McTominay. Newcastle game, obviously, what we're playing this week, McTominay is going to start 100%, there's no doubt about it. But obviously, in terms of quality and what kind of you expect from the attack point of view and more points, I think you'd look at Garnacho.
Since we're asking fun questions, how do you feel about this week, Leon, with United coming in? How confident are you?
Yeah, I'm not confident at all because our players are exhausted from that Champions League game and they are a bit deflated as well due to that last minute penalty from PSG. So we're playing at home, so we have a chance. Definitely we have a chance, but I wouldn't say 100% that we'll win this. But one thing is I'm really impressed with the 17-year-old Miley, who just slot in for long stuff and you know he has no experience playing the first 11, but he just like slot in effortlessly and he really impressed so far. But I think it'll be a very tough game, especially with Man United somehow grinding out wins after wins, even if they don't play well. So I won't be surprised if they manage to grind another result out at St. James's Park this game week.
Not as easy as the Chelsea match, but I was pretty surprised with Chelsea match. I thought it will be more difficult than how it ended up. Of course, it was much closer as well for some time. And I think that once the James red card came, it just closed the match out. Right? But at the same time, I thought Chelsea will match things way, way more than they did at the end. Right?
Yeah, I saw a lot of people bring in Reece James last game week for no reason. I can't see why it's the reason they bring him suddenly, and then now they are not sure what they are going to do with Reece James. I just can't figure out why they made that move so early.
The moves.
I mean, when you have luxury transfers to burn, it wasn't a bad option considering the price he was at and what you would expect in the next few weeks. But that's how funny the game is, right? Sometimes you should not overthink because it doesn't go according to plan.
Yeah. So we go into the fixtures.
Let's just briefly touch upon it because we did speak a lot about fixture swing. But let's look at what's right up in front of us. Right, obviously, Newcastle against Man United is a different game that we won't talk about now. We look at Arsenal against Wolves. That's the first fixture based on what they've written, but we have three games going on simultaneously. So, sort of the early kickoff is ruled out.
It's a very rare thing that I see, right? You generally don't see three matches starting together. So, you have Brentford, Luton, you have Burnley, Sheffield, and three matches going together. I was really interested to see, you know, if people will go for a Mbeumo captaincy, but now that first match bias always plays on my mind.
Yeah, I'm considering the Mbeumo captaincy, but just considering, not really sure on that. But one fun fact that I just found out about the Arsenal game yesterday, they are the first club in Champions League ever to have six different players scoring and six different players assisting. So for Arsenal, it's good, but for FPL point of view, it might not be so
good.
Especially we don't know who are the players that are going to score. Yeah.
Our attack has been fairly low ceiling, right? But the only guy who stands out is Saka because he's just consistent, right? He keeps being there. But I'm also fairly happy to see Jesus now more or less fit because I think that changes things. And right from the start of the season, I feel like he has come into this season trying to do something. He wants to add a bit of weight. And because I've seen a lot of Arsenal fans still ask for another striker, you know, Gattoni, Vlahovic, etc., etc. Primarily because they don't trust Jesus and his finishing skills. And I feel like he understands that there is a need now to step up. So I would love to see him get an extended run. And that makes things a bit more difficult. Again, Jesus being that, I will not get him ahead of Watkins. At the same time, it's difficult to go for him as a third striker, right? So
I think he said something weird last game week. He said that scoring goals is not his strong point in an interview. I think that sort of put a lot of managers off. Not sure why he said that. I think you heard about it as well.
True.
Yeah.
That means he's been listening to the kind of feedback which has been coming.
Okay, I think Sun Cup went off a bit.
Sun Cup got a call, I think something urgent.
Oh,
so
okay. We just move on. One of the game that I think is not really that FPL related, but I think I'll pay a lot of attention to is Burnley versus Sheffield United. Bottom teams battle. If you look at the last season's result in the championship, right, both of the teams at home actually won. The first game, Sheffield United won 5-2 at home, but they have a relatively different team right now. And also Burnley won 2-0 at home in the return fixtures. So I think 3 points is essential for both struggling sides. Especially if we look at the fixtures, Burnley have a really good fixtures run from now on, but we don't really can go to any of their players. So if I have a Burnley player and they are playing at home, I might just play them, maybe one of defenders or maybe like Taylor or someone. But I'm not sure if they can keep a clean sheet because they haven't kept a clean sheet this season, and Sheffield United will attack them because they need the 3 points. So rather than watching the Arsenal Wolf game, maybe I will surprisingly watch the Burnley Sheffield United game instead.
I think you're going to fall asleep, so anyways.
Yeah.
But it's a 6-pointer sort of for both the teams. Yeah. So there's a lot at stake for them. So I think they might just take a point each and go off. We don't know.
Yep. Any other games that you are going to pay attention to?
Obviously, I think we have very good games lined up on Sunday. Liverpool against Fulham. Obviously, Marco Silva's Fulham. They're not a team that you take for granted. Bournemouth against Villa. Right, again, battle of two Spaniards, that's going to be a good game. Okay, Chelsea against Brighton, not to be taken lightly. West Ham against Palace, West Ham did lose their last game against Luton. They need to bounce back. Palace obviously are kind of, playing their typical rhythmic performances. Mm-hmm. And obviously City against Spurs. So Sunday, I think we have a lineup of very good games on Sunday. I think all the games are worth watching on Sunday because there's a lot at stake for each of these sides.
Yep, Chelsea versus Brighton as well, I think, because we saw Brighton's increased list of injuries. Lamptey is out for long, Estupiñán is out for long, then they have Dang suspended, Webster injured, so not sure what kind of backline is De Zerbi is going to feel. I'm sure he will come up with some youngsters that we maybe haven't heard before. And then also their attack, I think it has been weakened as well with Fati injured long-term, Welbeck still out, March and Enciso still out. So I think a lot of injuries for them, but somehow they still managed to score every single game this season, but they also managed to concede every single game. So it will be, again, I think probably a high-scoring game, a very exciting game to watch again.
So we have some back.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had some notification come in. I was trying to close the notification. I closed the window.
Yeah. And we were talking about one last one is about Fulham. So just now you mentioned about Fulham being quite unpredictable this season, but however their away form has been quite bad, especially their defensive stats. So if you look at the defensive stats, they have the worst one among all the teams in the league. Second worst to only Luton. So facing a Liverpool side who won all six games at home and conceding only two goals, and even last season they only lost once at Anfield. I think it'd be a very good chance to buy in even Liverpool defenders. I think a lot of managers own Tsimikas, and Klopp just mentioned his press conference just now that he might consider giving Tsimikas a run of games. So that might be an indication that we want to buy or maybe hold on to Tsimikas in upcoming games.
Yeah,
I'm very grateful.
And Liverpool have been strangely doing much better in defense over the last few game weeks that we have seen. It's also fixtures, right? Fixtures bring form. But they have looked a bit more settled in the way they build up and in the way they concede chances. I think they have been able to control it down much more than we were expecting at the start of the season, right? Especially it looked fairly well. But if I look at the number of goals they have conceded, it's not high. It's fairly low. I think there's just a couple of goals more than us. Not
surprising numbers. So, I mean, arguably the game of this game week is City against Spurs. Obviously, historically, last few seasons we've seen what all dramas it has caused. Upsets, high scoring thrillers. A lot of the things that we've seen, but we don't have Kane. And Spurs team is kind of depleted at the moment with a few of injuries. So this is going to be an interesting game to see how, you know, Ange Postecoglou actually plays against City. Like, what he has up in store for Pep.
Yeah, it will be very interesting to see how Spurs set up. Does, you know, Ange play around a bit or do they, you know, still go out and play attack? Also, it will be interesting to see who actually ends up dominating the ball, right? Because Spurs have shown that they can do it, and they also did it against us. I think first half they struggled a bit, but second half they came out really strong and they kept the ball no matter how strong, how high we pressed. So it will be interesting to see who keeps the ball more. Will it be City or will it be Spurs as a surprise? But I've seen City have evolved a bit there. They have now known to give up the ball, but to utilize the position more. So it might be interesting, but we might see a City counter-attacking team, you know, taking away, having fun the same way we used to see Spurs teams do it in the earlier seasons.
Let's see. Hopefully, we have a good game. I think with that, let's look at a few of the dilemmas that we've noted down for this week. Obviously, we did cover up one that's about Pawan and Eze. So just to re-summarize, just for that one quickly, and then we go to the others. Pawan, we might get some embargoed course or maybe a new press conference. I'm not sure what's going to happen. So basically, if he's fit, he might play. If not, obviously not. And Eze is like rumored to be out for 4 weeks or so. Not sure. We need to wait for Roy Hodgson's press conference to get a proper update. And in terms of replacements for Eze, we did speak about Gibbs White, Ilanga, Luis Diaz. These are some of the names. And Ulisi, obviously, same club, but fixtures are kind of, you know, pointing off at the moment. And with that being done, let's look at quickly some of the other dilemmas. Let's do a quick rapid fire. Let's not drag this episode for long. We go to the first one straight away. There's doubling up on Arsenal defense, genius move or risky business? I'll go straight to Sankar because I think he gives a better answer.
I think it's a solid decision from what we have seen so far, right? What keeps happening is that FPL thing, right? Where you just are attracted to forwards and the midfield options and you hope that someone gives you return. But if you're going double defense, if say you are going Gabriel Saliba, I think it's a fairly solid decision because you know we are going to get clean sheets over the next 24 odd weeks. And these two will be in play for most of those matches, almost like 90 to 95% of the matches. So, or say someone is going, say Gabriel and White or Saliba and White, I think it's a really, really smart move. It might not be the move that looks attractive on paper, but it might be the move that gives you more options, primarily because in midfield, you can then play around and go for the, you know, different assets, right? Be it Chelsea, be it Newcastle, be it United, you have higher flexibility playing around if you do that move. And that's the decision that I'm struggling with this week, because initially I was set on going double defense, but now I also feel with Arsenal attack looking so great yesterday night, you have that bias, right? So you hope that, hey, should I go Kai Havertz? He has scored for two consecutive matches. Should I go Gabriel Jesus, tear up my team? And so those things keep coming to your mind, primarily because that's how FPL works. But I don't think it's a risky business. I think doubling up on Arsenal attack is a risky business, but doubling up on Arsenal defense feels like a very solid decision.
I have a question. I think, let's see if Leong and my question is the same. Suspense.
My question is, I think it's on Ben White. I don't think it's the same as yours. Yeah. So how is the situation with him right now, and how likely is he to start this game week?
He played some of the minutes again yesterday, and he played like 10 minutes odd in the week before the Premier League match. So I feel he's almost there, and I do expect him to start this match. But it's also worth noting that Tomiyasu and Zinchenko has been a pair which has looked good as well. But Ben White will always remain the first choice for Arteta. If he's fit, he's fit. And I'm also waiting a bit for his news, because if I know he's fit, I think I will go there. Else, because of the fact that I have Gabriel, I think Saliba looks to me the next move, even if it's 5.5 million. I know he's going to play almost all the matches he's available for. Right, so that's how the thinking is. My gut says he'll start, but let's see.
Yeah, and Aditya, your question?
My question was that most of us, those who wildcarded a few weeks back, have Turner and Areola, and we'll be looking for a goalkeeper replacement. What do you think of getting in someone like David Raya and not going for someone like maybe Saliba or Mahrez?
It's actually a very good decision. I was also thinking of it because I have Leno, and Leno is just not giving any points anymore. You know, that start of the season run, it has dried up. And it's also a fact that goalkeeper this season seems a bit more dried up in terms of options compared to last seasons, where you used to have at least a couple of assets doing so well. And there was an easy move, you know, one player, you just go there and just sit with that player. This season, we have not had that goalkeeper option, and Raya looks like a pretty strong long-term option for me. He is the first choice keeper for sure for Arsenal. Right? So, if you're going Raya, great. It's just that you should have moves to burn them, right? Because goalkeeper moves don't come that easy.
I was considering the same thing as well, to turn Turner into Raya. But then my answer is slightly different from Sankap. You asked me this question. I would say it's more to risky business, because I look at the fixtures. After Wolves and Luton, they have Villa, Brighton and Liverpool. And all these teams are very attacking teams, capable of scoring. So for me, I have Saliba right now. And I think one defender from Arsenal is more than enough for me. So this is what I slightly disagree with Sankap there.
Yeah, thank you for playing devil's advocate. We needed someone to look at the other way also and say, you know what, what if they don't keep clean sheets? It's better to look at both sides.
Primarily, these are picks which are long-term picks, right? So if you're looking long-term, you will not get worried. If you're looking very short-term, then obviously you never know how things turn, right? We are going to face a couple of good attacking teams. We have Villa away, we have Brighton at home. Both of the teams scored against us last season, right? Villa, we considered, I think, 2 goals, and Brighton also similarly 2 or 3 goals. Do I feel way more confident of our defense this season? Because it feels like Arteta's put defense first approach for sure, right? So that's why I don't feel it's risky business over a mid or long term, but over short term, you know.
Okay. Next one is Mbeumo Mania. Is it smart to acquiring now due to good fixtures, or are we falling for a trap? I think it's a trap worth falling fairly based on fixtures.
Hey, he's for me right from the start. I've not been a huge Mbeumo fan, but I think the way Brentford have played this season, it has gone a lot via Mbeumo, right? Most of the attack either gets created by Mbeumo or ends up to Mbeumo. So I don't see him as, again, as a risky player as such. I feel he's a very good player. Will give you, he's not a consistent asset. He'll not give you week on week returns, but say weeks like this where you see that there's a good fixture. It reminds me of the last time I owned him. He had United away and I sold him for Madison. And after United away, he had Burnley home, and I think there was a 13 point or 14 point, right? So he's that kind of player who will give you some sort of good matches, but he'll also give you blanks. You just need to accept that he's not a Bowen kind of a guy. He's a bit more unpredictable, but at the end of the day, I think both Bowen and Mbeumo might end up with similar points as well.
Yeah, the only risk that I can see here is because they have a game week 18 blank. So you're obviously going to bench Haaland at game week 18. So if you have Mbeumo, you're going to bench him as well. So you already have two players that are confirmed not going to play. So you have to make sure in that game week that you have at least 11 nil players to start, especially with the rotations in the busy fixtures as well. So you cannot be sure that all your players are going to start, and sometimes you might need your bench. But the good thing is, even if you look at the fixtures after game week 18, I know they have good fixtures until game week 18, but even after game week 18, from game week 19 to 21, the fixtures are good as well. And even game week 20, they are rumored to have a double game week. Unfortunately, one of the game will be against City if they have a double game week. So, and also, coincidentally, Tony is going to return at that period. So we're not sure whether he'll be sold or he'll stay in the club, or if he stays and start, how is it going to affect Mbeumo's points? So there's the only few problems that I can see. But right now, if you don't have Mbeumo, then I think people are rushing to bring him in. His price are likely to rise. I think, Sankap, you're considering to bring him in as well for this game week, or you have him?
Mbeumo, I'm looking to get him this week. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's an easy decision. He's a far end differential captaincy shout, but he's a good pick to get. Right, I think I'll get him for sure. May or may not captain. Depends on how wild my thoughts are towards the deadline. But I'll get him for sure. Aditya, you're on mute.
Aditya is on mute. Yeah.
Okay, very good. I don't know how it's gone on mute. Okay, anyways. made a mockery of myself there. Anyways, the next one is about Trent Alexander-Arnold. Obviously, he did score against City last week. And he's a nice one. Trent timing, when is the right moment to play Trent Alexander-Arnold? I mean, obviously, Sankar, let's speak about Liverpool's sort of defense numbers, which look, I mean, it's okay. It's not as scary as what we presumed it to be. But what do you guys think? Is it like really worth a shout going for a defender that expensive?
If I look at his attacking stats, he was really good last season. His XGI was second behind Trippier, who had an amazing season. Unfortunately, this season, his attacking threats has been quite down. Not sure if it's due to his position or whatever, but he has been down to 8 in terms of XGI. And his returns, even if you look at his attacking returns, he only have 2 returns this season. So is it worth to spend 7.9 million on someone that don't really return that much on an attacking point of view that much this season? I'm sure I don't have that money to go there for now, but whether we want to, maybe we have a chance to change, to turn Trippier into Trent, especially with Trippier with 4 yellows and Newcastle being quite tired. I think some of the managers are contemplating on doing that as well. But other than that, I can't see us having 2 expensive defenders in Trippier and Trent. That would be too much to own, I think.
Yeah, I have Trippier. Right, going Trent is possible. Trippier has United, home, Everton away, Tottenham away. Three, I would say, tricky fixtures. And Liverpool has the easier ones, right? Fulham home, Sheffield away, and Palace away. It's just that it feels like a luxury move this week. It is a doable move, but I don't want to do that. Unless you are you have a perfect team, you don't have a lot of problems, as and you have money as well. I think there's upside there. But if you don't have the a perfect team, I will not be doing it this week. Right, because again, United might not score. It can be a 0-0 kind of a game. If Newcastle is tired, then what Howe will do is, you know, he'll sit back, he'll close off all the defensive chapters, and I think they can handle United attack well as well. So, might not be the best week to do it. But if you actually have a very good team, unlike my team, which is, you know, filled with holes, it can be a very you know, strong differential to he can be a very strong differential to own and. It can be a great move for, especially for this 3 weeks, right? And then you plan to come back to Trippier. You can easily downgrade. He's not worth 8 million over the season, for sure. But over 3 weeks, you never know.
Okay. I think we have the next four interesting questions. And let's go through them quickly. Obviously, Hyunmin-chan, he has flanked over the last 3 weeks. What do you do? Sell or stick?
Yeah, you guys both have Son right now. I don't. No. I think yeah. Sun Cup is the only one who have Son. So what will we do him?
He's not the guy to buy this week. He's not the guy to sell at all. Right? If you are selling Son, where do you go? I think Salah is a good upgrade. If you have the money to go there, I think that he's perhaps the only player I don't have a problem selling Son for. At best, they are equals. But if Sun is looking slightly fuzzy, Salah is looking more and more confident. So this looks like a decent move on paper, at least. There are a lot of people who are discussing Sun to Saka move. I won't call it a bad move on paper. On long term, I do feel these are similar assets who will give you similar points. And Saka being cheaper, right? But at the same time, I feel like you can always upgrade someone else to Saka. Right? So. Why Son? Have that premium, keep that player, right? So it's again, it feels more like a luxury move to make. If you ask me who's the player to do that for, I think Salah is the straightforward answer. Saka is a more long-term approach where you feel like, hey, you know, over 5 weeks, over 10 weeks, I know more or less they will give similar returns, and I'll use that 1 million or, you know, half million, 0.6 million somewhere else.
Yeah, I was reading a bit about some of the speculation saying that Son did well early season because of the partnership between him and Madison. And now that Madison is out, then he might not do as well. So I did a stats check around this. So from game week 1 to 11, Son actually played together with Madison, and his XGI was high, and 8 overall in among all positions. However, we have a small sample size in the last two game week without Madison, and his XGI actually dropped to 36 among all the players. But that was not including the three offside goals that he had the last game. So, yeah, I think if you held him until now, I think you could have hold him for 1 week, because he has two home games coming after this. Then after that, the fixtures sort of eases up a bit. So
It's very difficult to sell him, right? West Ham at home, Newcastle at home again. It's not an away match.
Yeah.
Nottingham Forest away, Everton at home. These are not the fixtures you sell Sun for, because he's the kind of a guy who will give you a 15-pointer any day, right? And these weeks, especially West Ham at home, feels like prime Sun kind of fixture. Right? So he's a guy who you keep for the season, you know, try and minimize transfers. He's a glue pick kind of guy. For me, if you have players like Sun and Saka, it's better not to sell them. Even Salah, right? Salah goes to AFCON, and I think that's the time if you don't have Sun, you do a Salah to Sun. But these are the guys you just don't sell.
You can't, because Son is going to Asia Cup as well. So you're going to miss Son as well. Yeah. So we are going to miss two premium options. Yeah.
Son, how long is the Asia Cup for?
I'm not really sure. I think it's almost the same time as the AFCON, if not mistaken.
Yeah, I think we'll have fun then. you know, when both Salah and Sana are out, Haaland is the standout captaincy option, but you have one more midfield, you know, player to play around with.
Yeah. And another thing is I realized that Spurs attacking stats haven't fall a lot, even without Madison. It's their defense, they are letting them down. So they are attacking normally, but they keep leaking goals. I think that's the reason of their downfall recently. So yeah, Son is still okay for me. Yeah, we go to the next one.
Yes, I think it's better if you answer who's better among these two, Gordon or Isaac.
Okay, so if you look at our bench in the Champions League game, we don't even have, we barely fulfill the minimum amount of players that we can actually have on our bench. We even need to call up, I think, one of our under 16 or 17 player. So if you look at the sub-bench, the only player that is good enough to come off the bench against PSG is Hall. And the five subs that come off the bench against Chelsea, probably not really familiar names as well. Dammit, Richie, Diallo, Alex Murphy, Andy Rennie. None of them are really first team quality or even near our normal substitute quality. So we are really short of players right now. And we need to pay attention to one fact that we play 10 games in the next 33 days, including the Champions League and the Cup games. So that's a lot of fixtures. And we have some players returning. I think Longstaff, Botman and Barnes are the players closest to return, but then we are not sure as well when will they return. So, and also based on Isak's injury history, he got injured quite often, and there's no guarantee that if he keep playing 90 minutes every single game, three times a week, that there's no guarantee that he won't re-injure himself again. So I think if you have to choose one between Gordon and Isak, especially with Gordon's now still at 5.9 million, I think he's still great value. So I would go Gordon if you have to choose between these two. Even though I saw a lot of people tweeting that they say Wilson is not there, so Isak, he has been scoring, so why not bring him in? Yeah. But I'm not considering bringing anyone of them.
Yeah. That's the answer people want to hear. So don't get anyone because Leong is not going to get anyone.
Yeah. In fact, I only have one Newcastle player this season. I bought him in last game. It's not Trippier. It's not Liferento as well. His share, I think he's the most nailed because we have Botman coming back. So I don't think Lascelles is nailed for long now. So I went share because I believe in our home defense. Unfortunately, Chelsea scored one goal. So yeah, we lost that clean sheet. But yeah. That's also one of the reasons is I don't have Trippier. Yeah, I can't go to Trippier, so that's probably one of another reason as well.
Fair enough. Okay, I think next one is a kind of a easy one. Cash and Musa Diaby, what do you keep or kick, and what's the best move for Avila Sanchez? I think they definitely sell next week, not for this week. I think next week for sure they sell. I mean, if you have two transfers or just gradually ship them out one by one. Probably, if I were to ship out one, Cash would go first because he's nearing a suspension, and obviously Villa's fixture takes the turn, and I don't expect them to keep a lot of clean sheets, but attack-wise, obviously, we see how good they are in terms of the break and counter. So, DIB is still not a bad shot, but once you have, you know, comfortable moves to be made, I think then you can ship out DIB.
Diaby is a weird one because we thought he would be playing a lot of minutes, but then the last two games he was substituted. The last game 45th minute and the game before 61st minute, so his minutes are getting fewer and fewer. And then I think Cash as well is similar because in the starting of the season he was playing 90 minutes, 80 plus minutes. Then the past three games has been sub off in less than 60 minutes. So these are the two players that keep getting sub off. I'm not sure because if you look at, you actually watch the game, Cash was really terrible the last game. He was bad. Yeah, he was bad. Even though when
he was lucky not to get sent off. Yeah, so it had to be done.
Yeah, and he, we thought he was playing right wing, but he don't really get often a lot, get up and forward of often in that game as well. He was packed back by Spurs, so not really sure about that, because we saw Konsa playing that right back role pretty well, so I'm not sure if his place is under threat in the next game.
Okay, last but not least, you have a very interesting one about Man City attackers, and one of them is obviously Julian Alvarez. I think he's one of the most transferred out players for this week. That's what we saw earlier at the start. What do you do with someone like Alvarez? Do you still hold on to him, or you finally ship him out?
Any of us have Alvarez in our team? None. Yeah, if I have, I would have kept him, because after yesterday's Champions League game, he didn't start the game. Because I think that there were rumors that he was going to be dropped the last game week as well in the Premier League, but until Grealish got ill. So I think his rest is going to come. And then as I mentioned just now, we have a very busy fixture, so Pep is going to play around with the rotation. So there will be games where he will be rested. But he came in and scored. So this game week probably is he's going to start. So I think for this game week, I'll keep him and observe what to do next. Because Doku, of course, he impressed us a lot, and he was rested as well in the Champions League game. Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. But then I wouldn't sell Alvarez this game week.
Yes, I think that's it for the dilemmas, right? Let's look at our captaincy picks and our passing to the next again, and let's wrap it up. Obviously, very easy decision, right? Mo Salah is ideally the best option. Erling Haaland again is like perma cap. There's no like sort of argument. Then we have obviously Brian Mbeumo and Bukayo Saka. So these are a few of the names. Any other players that you guys want to add to this list?
I would add Darwin in this list against Fulham. Surprise is not here, but if I have Salah and Darwin, and I'm very confirmed that Darwin is going to start, then I might surprisingly captain Darwin ahead of Salah, especially against a weak Fulham defense at home. Yeah, but the prime debate, of course, I think is going to be again between Haaland and Salah. So I think the factor that we have to decide is between whose defense is weaker. Is it Fulham playing away, or is it going to be Spurs high line with Royal and Davies as centre back? So yeah, both are weak on paper. So we just have to pick one. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I like Haaland over Salah, in fact, this week, because I do feel Spurs will concede goals. I feel like Haaland has that higher potential. At the same time, Saka and Mbeumo are not bad shots at all, but it's very differential. And especially, I think when these big two have good games, you don't have to look outside these big two. And it's only when they are facing tough matches is where we have to look outside. So it's taking that call between these two players, because they also give you some kind of surety as to how the points will come, right? Even in tough matches, we have seen them giving us points.
Yes, fair enough. I think we're done with captaincy. Let's look at our past teams. Let's go to Sankalp's team at the moment. So this is your team. Any transfers that you're planning to make?
Yeah, I have two free transfers. I have to sort out my defense. I'm looking to get Mbeumo in. The couple of thoughts, one was Bruno to Sterling, Diaby to Mbeumo, and then upgrade Reguilon to, say, Saliba or a White kind of a guy. I do have the money for that. Other option for me is to do a double defensive transfer. Take Reguilon and Lamptey out, which sorts out my defense. I'm thinking Simikas and Saliba, or Simikas and White. And I think I'll downgrade Bruno to Mbeumo. Right. So these are the couple of things that I'm thinking about. A lot depends on a bit on the Arsenal news. So I'll wait a bit for that before I take a call, because we have early game week matches. So I do expect that we'll get some Arsenal news before we take a call.
Do you don't want to take a hit and probably just sort everything out at once?
Yeah, I will take a hit. So three transfers for sure. I have two FT. So minus four risk for sure. So one midfield, two defense, or two, one defense, two midfield.
Okay.
I think Bruno did quite well as well yesterday. If I didn't watch the full match, but I was quite impressed.
He's been playing well. It's just that United attackers are not converting the chances that he keeps on creating. Right, so that's where it is. And the matches next 2 to 3 matches are a bit tough. So it feels like for example, if I'm doing Bruno to Mbeumo, I'm not as worried. Right, but Sterling can be tricky, especially with both Bruno and Sterling now with 4 matches. And I know both have a tendency to collect yellow cards, right? Be it arguing, be it falling down.
Okay, so we go to my team. Yeah, in goalkeeper, of course, I haven't made any transfer. So this is my team before the transfer. And just for your information, I'm going to wildcard on game week 19. So the only fixtures that I look right now is from game week 14 to 18. And I'm going to base my transfers on those fixtures. My team is quite okay this game week, so I'm thinking of a goalkeeper transfer because right now I only have Neno, and I'm not comfortable with starting him against Liverpool. So Turner is going to be converted into someone. So I'm thinking of a few options, including Callagher from Liverpool as well. Because I need a goalkeeper for game week 14 and 17. Those are the two game weeks that Lando don't have good fixtures. So, yeah, but after that, I read about Klopp's press conference that Alisson is going to return sooner than what we expected, maybe in 2 game weeks or so. So I changed that plan, and probably Turner is going to turn into Areola, maybe. I'm not sure about that, but he's not keeping clean sheets as well. But for sure, I'm not going to start Leno. And for my back three, all three are playing at home. Bayer, Saliba, and Cher. I was thinking about between Cash and Bayer. Cash, you have to gamble whether he can get a ticking return against Bournemouth away. But Bayer is a gamble as well because Burnley don't have any clean sheets this season and he don't have any attacking potential. But for now, I'm going to start Bayer, Saliba, and Cher. And in the midfield, I'm more comfortable with it. I have 4 players playing at home: Salah, Mbeumo, Gibbs White, and Martinelli. So I'm going to captain Salah against Fulham for now. And my front three is going to be Risa, Watkins, and Haaland as vice captain. So I've kept Risa from game week 1 until now, even though he doesn't really return a lot. But he's currently the 8th highest scoring striker, even though he don't really stand out. And you look at the strikers list, he actually outscores a few of the names that people want to buy, including Ferguson, Cunha, Edouard, Jackson, João Pedro. He actually scores more than those players, and he's I have to start him at home against Luton because I have a feeling that he can score. So it's going to be a 3-4-3 and pending a goalkeeper transfer for now. Even Adingra, I'm comfortable with starting him because I'm sure they're going to score against Chelsea as well. Yeah, so that's my team.
Yeah, I think especially Visa looks like a transfer to be made, but over the next 3 matches, they have both Luton as well as Sheffield at home, I think. Uh-huh. So it's something that you can sit on and I think probably take a call closer to Wildcard. Right? Uh-huh. It's only when the blank is when you have a problem, right? You have 3 blank players.
Yeah, because I'm going to Wildcard. I'm going to dead end my team. So I'm going to maybe bench Mbeumo, but I'm going to sell Haaland probably before the dead end. Then I'm going to wildcard him back in again. Yeah, that's my plan for now.
So we have Nehal, who is obviously saying that Keller seems trappy. And as soon as Alisson is back, he'll be integrated as the spot. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very short-term call, but it's all down to how long you want him, right?
Yeah.
Aditya, your team.
Yes, two flags right over on the bench. And somehow managed to...
Bowen should play. Ideally, I think you should start Bowen, and if he doesn't play, it's Archer coming off the bench.
Yeah, it's just that I didn't want the first 11 to have any flags. Just for the aesthetic purposes. But as my team, I mean, as you said, I'm going to play Bowen ahead of Archer, and I will ship out Eze, and whoever I get in is going to start ahead of Maguire. So that's what is going to happen. I don't expect, us to keep a clean sheet. It's going to be a tight game, but we've been not that. I mean, somehow we're managing to keep clean sheets, but we're not looking that good. And away from home at St. James Park, it's not an easy game. Maybe it has a nil-nil written all over it. But I mean, fancy starting an attacker or Maguire. So yeah, that's my team. Obviously, Areola, Cash, Maguire will be benched for Tejas' replacement. Mahrez, Simikas, Saka, Salah, and Mbeumo. Bowen will start at the Archer. Then I have Watkins and Haaland.
Yeah, so if Bowen is fit, then who are you going to bench? Archer, right?
Archer.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, I think that brings us to the end of our first teams. Before we wrap up, we do have one question, so... I will change our deck to this, and here's the question. Thoughts on Bond to Palmer, Archer with Darwin, Cash to Pinnock for a -4?
I don't like the Bowen to Palmer move. Again, because long-term, Bowen seems like a guy you want to keep. It's a stronger probability that he starts this week. Palmer might be a bench issue the moment Nkuku is back, and that feels like a short term away, like 2 to 3 weeks away at max. And then Nunes is a bit, strongly differential, but a dicey player. At sometimes he gets benched, he travels a lot, not returned so much. So I can understand. I think the move is to support the Darwin move for 3 weeks. It looks like a decent move, but I don't really like selling Bowen because he feels like such a solid player, right? He still gives you points every week. And taking him out over a hit when he has Palace at home this week. Right? So it's not like he has tough fixtures as well. He has Palace at home, he has Spurs away, and then he has Fulham at home again. So he also has those similar easy fixtures that we are seeing for, say, Liverpool. Right, and they do look like they have good matches even after that. They have Wolves at home, United away and Arsenal away. United home and Arsenal away can be tricky, but then again, they have easy moves. I feel like it's a bit early to sell Bowen, and unless you get, sure shot news that he's out for a few more weeks, I won't do it on a hit.
Yeah, I like the move from Archer to Darwin, but the other two moves to Palmer and Pinnock for a hit. Not sure if you can generate cash from other moves, but...
I think Bowen to Palmer does it. That's the reason.
Yeah. I don't know, but I don't really think it's worth a hit to do this move.
Maybe this week it works. Right, short term, I think it works. If Nehal really wants to have fun and take that, short term point, I think it works in his favor. But it's a move that he'll again have to work out over time. But Cash to Pinnock, I think, is a good long term move. Also, the next 3-4 weeks, I think it definitely gives him some kind of higher returns.
But you're going to bring in another player that's going to blank on 18. Blank. So, yeah, you have Haaland and Mbeumo, and you have Pinnock. So you're not going to have any bench at all, right?
Yeah, so can do Garnacho 2 for Bowen without hits. Lol. Okay, someone at least wants to think of Garnacho. I mean, currently, Nehal is ranked better than us in terms of overall, so I think we shouldn't make a lot of fun.
It's a decent move. If he really wants to bring in Nunes, and Nunes is a strong differential over the next 3 weeks, right? I don't think it's a bad move over 3 weeks. I like the fact that he can do it without hits. But to be honest, I do feel Cash to Pinnock was the more solid long-term move for him. right? Maybe he
does. So here's the twist. He has a free hit 18 strategy as of now.
Perfect. Perfect. Then he won't have to worry about, right?
The blanks, yes.
We also have a comment from Mylota FF. Right. Good to have new names in.
Yes. Looking at Pedro Neto in about 2 weeks, two game weeks, if he's back.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's hope he's back next game week against Burnley, because that would be a solid, solid differential to have.
They want to have everyone run towards Neto. Obviously. Okay. I think with that being said, we are indeed done for this episode. I think we've got a lot, and we have gone pretty much way overshot over time, right? Yeah, so that being said, that brings us to the end of this episode. Hopefully we got everything that's needed for game week 14. To drop a like on this stream or video, subscribe and click on the bell icon for more updates to our across our channel. We'll be back again game week, what would it be now, 16? 15 is a midweek fixtures. Again, we have interesting 16 again. We'll see. We'll have an update out regarding that. Those who are listening to us on audio platforms, do drop us your ratings and any feedbacks would be appreciated. That's it from us at this point. Hopefully, have a good game week 14. We'll see you all next time.